Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, this is Pablo Zabaleta.
This is Troy Deeney.
This is Kevin Phillips.
This is Jurgen Klopp, and you're listening to the big interview with Graham Hunter.
Thank you, Jurgen. Look, I travel to all these interviews from Barcelona, and our socios keep us on the road. This independent podcast simply wouldn't happen without them. Please head to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now. Join us, become a socio, a member, and you'll get extra big interview content every month, plus lots of bonuses. We need you. We can't do this without you.
For this one, we caught up with Rafael van der Vaart. Rafa is born, bred, one of the entertainers. If you're a fan of Spurs, or Hamburg, or a Madridista who saw him at his best at the Bernabeu, or for Holland, then you know this already. His ability to manipulate both the football and his direct opponent certainly made him one of the footballers that we talked about throughout our lives and will talk about long after they leave our particular club. These type of men give us moments that are ours forever. They're not always the kind of players that all managers love, but fans do. They make us love football all over again. The guys at Midtjylland were fabulous. Thank you especially to Martin, at the club itself, and to the man of many mysterious ways, Robert Rowan, friend of the podcast, Brentford Brain, for his help in setting up this one from a long distance off. Good work, Martin. Good work, Robert. Rarely will any of us meet a better footballer, better talker about football, than this one. Vamos, Rafa. A por ello.
The big interview rides again. The big interview has, for the moment, its first World Cup finalist, its first Dutchman. It's the first time we've recorded in Denmark, and the reason is the gorgeous footballer, Rafael van der Vaart. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning in Dutch is?
Goedemorgen.
Y buenos días. Está igual para ti también.
Ah, qué bien.
Goedemorgen to you too in that case. Rafa, we're here because you don't just love football as much as we do, you make us love football. I want to ask, throughout your career, if you can sum it up, how much of every game have you dedicated to entertaining the crowd, entertaining yourself, enjoying, and how much have you had winning in your mind? What is the balance when you like to win, you're competitive, but you have a gift that most people don't, and you do like entertaining, I think?
No, it's you're totally true. I mean, when you start as a little boy to play football, winning is nice, but I always try to show the people what I was able to do, and I always tried that in my also professional games. But it's not always easy, because you know how it goes. You become professional. The trainer's gonna say, no, we have to stand like this, tactics, and you know you have to move from right to left. But I think I'm a player, I always try to play my own style, and yeah, that's entertain people. I mean, I always I was thinking about that maybe now 40,000 people, a lot of people are coming watching you and they want to see nice things. Things what you these days not see every game anymore, and I think that's a pity. And that's why we talked before this interview about romantic. Yeah, I'm also a romantic guy, and I really like players, of course, like myself, but like Isco, yes. That kind of players. I mean, And I think it's a pity that, a player like that is not playing every game in Madrid, also sometimes on the bench. But yeah, it's true, it's the romantic guy sitting here and still loves every minute of the game.
Football is romantic. One day I got very lucky. I was sent to do a big, long hour interview with Johan Cruyff. And today we're recording on the day after what would have been his 70th birthday. In that interview, he said to me, because he was, as a coach and a trainer, he was very critical of players who didn't do practical things. But he told me that when he was at Barcelona, if they had a bad result the week before, then the first thing he would do at the Camp Nou was any kind of trick, not even for a practical purpose, just to get the fans up and going. When you're growing up, does the name Cruyff, does it bore you to hear it all the time? Do people still talk about him when you're beginning to learn about football? Going back now, what was that name like to you then?
No, I never saw him playing, of course, but when you come to holidays, to England, to Spain, to everyone, when you talk about football, everybody talk about Johan Cruyff. He make the Dutch way of playing big, and his name is massive. And you know, when I just came as a 17 years old guy and he was talking about me and saying I was a great player, and then the people going to write about maybe it's the next Cruyff. I mean, nobody can compare with Cruyff. He's amazing. But it was something special. Also, the way of thinking about football, you know, like easy things, some sentences like when we have the ball, the other team can't score. When we score more than the other one, we win. So he was basically, he just wanted to show nice football, and he preferred to win 4-3 than winning in a boring 2-0, for example. And that was his way of thinking, and I really liked that way.
Right now, anybody around the world can read his autobiography with Chapter Cruyff. And in it, very early, he talks about, in those days, as does David Winner's Bergkamp book, Stillness and Speed, about using the street to learn.
Street.
A lamppost, a curb, a car door, maybe running away, because I do remember Mario Melchiot, Frank Rijkaard telling me some of Dutch street football used to also involve, not violence, but like it could be, there could be some retribution between who wants to be the best player, etc.
On the street, you have to show that you're the best. And I mean, I grew up in a trailer camp. It was not a poor life, but it was a normal life. And I remember we had our trailer here, and we had just one wall. And I was just kicking the hole there alone, because my father had to go to work. And I was just kicking the ball left, right I didn't use, because I always thought, you know, like, I prefer to have one really good one than two shitties. So I trained my left. And and then after school you play with on the street with your friends, and there what I think I learned the most about technical things, because you know then you play the ball under your feet to think quick, because it's small areas, and it's a pity that in these days the children almost never play on the street again.
Sometimes I don't know if you can remember the first time that the trick comes off against a big guy on the street in the whether it's around the trailer park or in the school pitch. But that first time, it's almost as good as a goal.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, when I put the ball between somebody's legs, I'm still going home happy.
What do you call that in Dutch? You call that a panna?
A panna, yeah, exactly.
A panna, is it? We call it a nutmeg.
How?
Nutmeg.
Nutmeg, okay.
Yeah?
Panna.
Don't ask me why. Panna sounds better.
Yeah, it's better.
Panna is now, yeah.
So it was, then sometimes when I come home now, I train and I put a panna, and then my day is already good.
One time I interviewed Wayne Rooney, and I'd never met him before. But rather than talk about the publicity side of things, I asked him about football. He said something that I loved, because people don't respect him enough in Britain. Mm. They see him for the headlines, not for the footballer. And I asked him how he learned, and he said, Litmanen. I always used to study Jari Litmanen, how he got to where he was, what his choices were, and Rooney used to copy them.
Yeah.
Now, I'm dealing with a loaded card deck here, because Litmanen was, I think, somebody you also...
Yeah, when I came in 95, when they won the Champions League for Ajax, I was playing for Ajax, when I was 11 or 12 at the time. And because he was a number 10, I was a number 10. Yeah, I wanted to be like him because he was playing in the first team. And it's true what he said, because he was slow, Liedman. He was not had a really a good, strong kick. But he was so clever to play between the lines. And as a number 10, I think that's the most difficult thing in football, playing between those lines. Because when you get the ball, defenders coming from everywhere, you know. And he was so smart in moving there, playing, turning, and play the ball to the striker. That was something special. And I had the privilege when he came back to Ajax. Then I was still there, so I played also with him in the first team. And then you can see, although he was a little bit older, but yeah, the quality was there, and that's why he's still a legend there.
When you study, whether it's like Manon's use of space or, I don't know, Iniesta's, whatever, if you study a good 10, can you copy that?
I don't know if you can copy that. I think, I always say you're born with talent or you're a hard worker. And I'm one of the ones who are born with talent. But of course, we also work hard. But it's like little things. I was never quick. So for me, it was really important. How was my first touch? That was for me the most important thing. And that's what I always try to get better, because I knew when I control it like shit, the ball was far away, it was gone. So that was for me that thing. The first touch was, I think, Liedman, one of the best in the world at that time. But also how he looked over his shoulder, what happened in his back. It was like he had eyes in his back. And yeah, that was for me also. It was nice that Rooney said that, because it's true.
He stopped and he studied and he tried to copy.
Yeah.
And that's how he developed. I was really impressed with that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think I agree, because that you can see when I play now, I still have to look over my shoulder. And I also looked at from him, because I was thinking, why he can see what is in his back.
So do you have eyes in the back of your head or not?
Yeah, I have them, because otherwise I was never a good player, because I'm not that quick. And I think I have to have it for my first touch and my technique and my vision. And so, but I, looking like this, I never did. I saw that at Liedman, and then I was not studying him, but I was watching a game and training with him. And then I was realized, okay, you know, because way, I think maybe 30 seconds before, he was always watching how it's behind me. And then he got the ball, and then he knew the situation.
So let me throw you this. There's a player, I don't know if you've heard of him, Messi, his name is.
Who is that?
Who is this guy?
The little.
when guys are that good, sometimes they do things that we don't understand. So lots of us, I live in Barcelona, so I've been lucky to see him since he was, I don't know, 15. And as his career develops, sometimes he walks.
Yeah.
And when the game is, you used your hands. It's an audio, not a video. But you use your hands just to show that sometimes it's a flurry. So when you see a guy walking, the lazy people will say, well, how lazy is he? Yeah. Then the next generation of people will say, boy, he's walking, but I don't understand. And Guardiola said, I think when he's walking, he's taking an X-ray of everything. And that big picture is in his head. So that when he runs or the ball comes to him, he knows everything. When you talk about eyes in the back of your head, what is vision? What is peripheral vision? For the kids and the coaches who listen, try and tell them.
That's a question who many people ask. And that's also the most difficult question to answer, because I think I'm born with it. Some think you can learn it. Hmm. But I still think it's really difficult to explain. Vision is sometimes I do something on the pitch, it comes out of nothing. And that's in your head, you think, I'm going to do that. And it's not, and it happened a lot, but it just, I see before somebody passed to me who made the run, and then when I control it well, and then I know, okay, there's the space, and then you play the ball to him. What Messi is doing is from another world. I mean, that's, for me, it's the best player I ever saw. But he also, of course, they at Barcelona, they know we put Messi, but we also have to leave him and do his thing, because every other trainer said, you're walking. You know what I mean?
That's, of course, they
you
would.
Know? No, yeah. Messi is our best player. When he feels well, when he's playing well, then I think we have a good chance to win. That's the way how Barcelona play. And everybody who comes, Neymar, Suarez, maybe Zlatan. Maybe Zlatan, he wants to change that somewhere. And after 1 year, they send him away.
They did.
So if you come, you have to play for Messi. And it's perfect. I mean, it doesn't matter, but that's the way it is there. And I think that's what Barcelona is doing a great job, because he is the best. And he can walk for 90 minutes, but he can also score two times, even walking. And if I don't know if he has the big picture, but I mean, what he is, he's so quick with his feet. I also had the privilege to play against him, and it was we lost in Bernabeu 2-6. And I came in, and I just tried to kick him. But even that is not possible. He's so quick, and blah, 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 and then he's gone again, and that's like you look like you're playing PlayStation. That good.
I don't want to make you like a brain scientist, so I only ask your opinion, not a fact. But he's left-footed, you're left-footed. I sometimes wonder when the most creative players, the players who can do things that pop up in their head, the players who see the geometry of the angles of space, just that little second or two quicker than the other people, is there some correlation between a left-footed guy and the part of the football brain? Or has that never crossed your mind? Do you watch left-footed players?
Yeah. I think the left-footed players are the most creative players in the world. You can see that, of course, you have some right-footed players, they are good. But for me, Cristiano Ronaldo is a great player, no question. But he's not creative, in my opinion. David Silva,
it's a joy to watch.
Yeah, that's a joy, you know. And that's why I hope and I think it, I had a feeling down. That's why I also like this interview, because that goes away, the real number 10s. Because you have to be like Pogba, big player, strong, box to box. And I think when you have still players like me, like Silva, Schneider, of course Messi then, but like Leo, Iniesta, I think that's why you're going to buy a ticket.
Yeah, for sure.
And me too. And not about seeing a game 0-0 and 1-0 and maybe they're going to be champion. Yeah, then I prefer to be third. But I had a great season. And when I was playing at Tottenham, the people came to us. And maybe we were playing football-wise the best football in the league. Mm-hmm. We were not winning nothing. Mm-hmm. But the people still talking about that team.
They're in love with that.
Yeah.
In love with what they saw.
And I think now, of course, they also have a great team. But at that time, we had Modric, me, Lennon, Defoe, Bale. So much great players who can do something special. And I remember a game we played against Arsenal, home. We were 1-0 down, 1-1, 3-1 down, and 3-3. And we had chances to score. And it was a great game. But we needed a win. And then Harry Redknapp, he's one of my favorites, because he also loved the game so much. And he was telling me in the interview, I just want to say thanks to everyone. I had a great night. But we needed a win to come to the Champions League.
But he enjoyed the football.
He just had a great night. And that's what football is all about.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Why would it be that joy, alegría, creativity is a little bit being extinguished? We know that there are coaches or football directors who say, give me the big guy who can run and jump. We know it happens. But why would it be that people want to see less of beauty or are scared of pausa and creativity? Why do you think this is?
Yeah, I really don't know. I think it's also the maybe the pressure from outside. You have to win, or you have to do that, or you know, like in Holland now is also we are on a point we're not qualified for the European Championship, maybe not for the World Cup, and they are really looking like what we have to do now because Germany, they're doing well or that, and I always say no, we are Holland. What is when you think about Dutch football? It's technique, it's controlling the game, it's always with three attackers. Go and nice games and the stadium is full. Why? Because we play good football. And of course they say Holland never win. But we always are outsider and we are a small country, but we always play nice football. And why you should change that? Stay your own. And I think that people are too much thinking about winning, and that's why I still hope that Barcelona wins the Champions League. Bayern München also still play really good football. They win the Champions League, not Juventus or not teams who just run and play hard. And that's what I hope. And yeah, I hope there are still trainers in this world that still want to see David Silva, want to see Van der Vaart, want to see that kind of play. Because at the end of the day, that players decide games for you.
Well, there's one of the things we do this for, because we are not going to change the world with our podcast. But kids are listening. Dads are listening.
Yeah, of course.
Coaches are listening. And within the professional game, lots of people listen and they comment favourably. And still what frustrates me and makes me mad is you feel like this. I feel like this. Our listeners feel like this. And that makes me sad. But you raised what people will call a cliche about this. Holland are good and technical, but they don't always, or they don't often win. 88, they won junior times. They win. I was given the job of following Spain, with Spain every day in South Africa. So we come to the final, and I remember sitting with Piqué in the last interview in the training camp in Potchefstroom and his excitement, because for him it was kind of like the perfect final. Spain against the country which gave him his club, the guy Cruyff, that made the whole. Right. So it felt like the parent country against the young kid country. But the football then was a little bit different. The final was a little bit different. It wasn't a particularly Dutch performance. I didn't think.
No, exactly.
But take us to before that final.
But that's also like, you know, I remember I was playing as a left winger the first three group stage games, And then I was a little injury, and then I came back in the semi-final. I came in because we weren't playing well. I came in half-time against Uruguay. And when you look back at that game, I think we played maybe our best 45 minutes from that tournament. And then maybe because we could have scored six times. And we were leading 3-1, they came back 3-2, and then at the end we did it. But that was so good. And then the final,
why was that so good? What your because, change or the coach's mentality?
Because at that moment, Nigel Jung was got a red card, so he was not playing the semifinals. We were like playing with Van Bommel, and I came in as a six, and Snyder as a ten, two little ones. I took the ball, played to him, bam, he gave it back. So we were playing, and we had some nice attacks, scored, and everything. And then the final, I knew already before the final that I was not playing because Nigel Jong came back and the rest stayed the same. And that's, I think it's a pity. My way of thinking when you play against Spain, they just get nervous when we also get the ball.
Yes.
Otherwise, they don't get nervous.
Yeah.
And then maybe, of course, we could win the game because we're playing hard and they had some problems with it. But to play the Dutch style, yeah, then you need also. Then when I was a trainer, okay, we play against Spain. They're probably the best team in the world, but we're also good with the ball. And we're going to show it.
And take the ball from
and
them.
And take the ball, because when they don't have the ball...
Make them chase a little bit.
Yeah, then they also have to run. And in my opinion, that was, you know, of course I was not playing, so I always think about me and why.
Okay, but you also watched it.
Yeah, but when it was another player, then I also put him, when it was a good player, to play football, you know, because I think it's that's the wrong way to win a game. Just think, okay, we have to stop Spain. No. We played in 2008 also fantastic football. We beat against
those games were
Italy,
marvelous.
France, and Spain was really scared for us.
Yeah.
And we had one bad game
yeah.
against Russia and we were out. So it was bad luck, I think. And we had a bad day, and normally you come through semi-final
yeah.
and then that's the football, Holland, that we should play. And that was, for me, it was really a privilege to play. But then you can also play 3 hours.
Hmm.
Without a problem.
Hmm.
And but it's true, 2010, Spain against Holland, it was it was amazing.
You've said before that you really believed. The Mamaric idea before the finals was, if you don't believe, stay home. But you really believed that Holland could win this.
Yeah.
And that Holland can score so many times. Maybe Puyol escapes a red card. Yeah. But because of my job, my fortune is, I'm standing on the touchline, right there, about 25 metres from you. And I swear my heart almost exploded when Schneider, your boyhood chum, he's falling and he just pokes the ball through and Robin is running through.
Yeah.
Do you remember the moment?
Yeah, yeah. Then and
what are you feeling in this moment? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember the chances, you know. And then, you know, of course, at the time I played for Real Madrid. And when you come back after the World Cup and Casillas shows his fucking toe, you know, like yeah. with the toe.
It's saved just it. The toe, isn't it?
I just wanted to kick him, you know. Because that is still a difficult thing to talk about because we were so close.
Arjen does the right thing, huh? Because Iker was always going to go from right to left in his dive. And Arjen knows this.
Oh, but that's I mean, normally it's a goal. It's just bad luck. You know, it's just bad luck. Normally he saved it, but he doesn't know how he did it. Ah, amazing goalkeeper. He really won that final over Spain.
I'm sorry to talk about it then if it's a sore one, but it fascinated me because I heard Cruyff the next day angry about the playing style. And also I felt I heard from Marwick saying that's not how I wanted to, because there were some moments... De Jong on Xabi Alonso. There's a couple other moments.
Yeah, but that
also,
that,
you have to cover. This interests me because I think that's sent off. Okay,
yeah.
So it's just two yellows. In football, it can happen. Yeah. But you, in my imagination, as the goal is coming up, I think you slot in for him or you're covering.
I was sliding. I make a sliding and then Iniesta shoot. But the biggest thing was, of course, we normally should have a corner kick. You remember?
It's true. I don't know what happened there because it is.
Schneider shot it that way in the ball. And
yeah.
He said goal kick. So, but that's.
Do you know what it looks like to innocent eyes?
Yeah.
And I'm not making accusations. In my opinion, the referee all the time after Nigel on Xabi is going, "Ooh, I missed a red card. I missed a red card. I missed a red card. I don't want Holland to score a corner." It's my opinion.
Yeah,
Human nature is my opinion.
But still, you know, like, of course, we were down with 10. But that's also the way of the... We wanted to win it. You know, we tried to go forward. And it was a pity that it was not... because imagine you win the World Cup. And you're forever you're a legend, you know. And in Holland, we needed that so much.
Yeah.
And that was a big chance, and now you can see that we're so far away from winning something. That's a pity.
I really hope you're enjoying these shows. We've got huge plans, but we do need your help to make them happen. Go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter right now to become a socio, a member, to join us, to support us. You'll get an extra big interview every month, plus lots of other bonus content. Last season, our members got 9 exclusive big interviews, including Rafa van der Vaart, Troy Deeney, and Roberto Di Matteo. So, go to patreon.com/GrahamHunter. Do it now, please.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.